welcome to the Dad Podcast, episode number 59. I am here with good friend of the show, Mr. Joseph Bears, in studio this time.
Howdy.
He is in the Los Angeles, in the Bank of Burr. That's what I'm going to call it.
Sure.
Doing an event. So why not? Why not do it face to face? At last. Now I could get my mangina ribbing in person.
Oh.
In full-fledged and full-blown.
Have you heard about this mysterious second clitoris thing going around? I'm being dead serious.
I know
right
you
now.
Are. I believe you. I do not know, though. Are you talking about the one that's on the back of some lady's throats? I've seen that Lovelace documentary.
No, I'm so misinformed right now, but I know someone just posted on Facebook,
really?
And I saw a few times. Yeah.
I hope it's not a Nigerian prince situation that
you've fallen for. Punch it into the old Oogle gay.
Second clitoris.
But listen, a second clitoris
I'd like
has
to
been
being a second clitoris.
That's hidden underneath somewhere in those labia folds, and then that's where you get that extra special amazing orgasm.
The succulence revolution.
Here we go.
The second clitoris, a three-part secret every woman must know. By now, most of us are hopefully well aware of the 8,000 nerve endings in the glands of our clitoris. That secret part of us that with touch or simply a thought will start pulsing and deliciously reverberating pleasure throughout the whole damn body.
Delicious.
Oh my, hold on, I want some.
Is this real? Some. Wait, are you reading something that's...
No, this is a website.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Oh. The part of us that can either be out, either numbed, out through overuse. Oh, yeah, that's how I do it. Or still patiently waiting to be discovered and awakened.
Whoops.
Oh, you poor bitch. And the fun doesn't stop there. A few of us are aware of our second clitoris.
Here we go.
Hidden within our depths is an undiscovered point of bliss. Oh. A bliss so great it can even pass by. It can even bypass that of our clitoris. Where's the proof? In your pants. This has to be written by a dude.
Wait.
Look, they found a stock picture of a chick. Who? Let's see.
Yeah.
Her name is Sade Delicetletetetets.
Namaste.
Yeah. Because no chick
Wait,
says
we've
in
got
your...
a diagram though.
Yeah,
look at this.
Look at all the. A lot of those things look like penises.
Folks, go ahead and check out the Dad Facebook page, and
you will
see this little diagram, which shows the second clitoris.
Here, talk into the front part.
I've never done this
Jesus
before.
Jesus Christ.
I'm new.
I even know how to fillet properly. That's how much of a girl I am. Well, I was going to tell you that
Wait
you have to
second.
Talk into the head of it, but why would you know that?
Fillet properly.
Fillet when talking into the microphone.
Oh, very good.
Anyway, anatomically, let me go back. Where's the proof? In your pants.
Yikes.
I feel like her boyfriend.
That's horrible.
Your panties, which is a word that all women love, to be more specific. Anatomically, it is called your anterior fornix erogenous zone, AFE zone. Or a spot.
Stupid. Stupid. This is just another thing for us men to go, huh? I didn't know there was that.
I'm going to need an AFE zone extraction stat. I want to get SEAL Team A on the A spot now.
Are you a giver?
What do you mean?
Are you a...
When you ask that, what do you say?
Are you a giver? I mean, I know you like to receive, but do you have any problems? Some guys don't like. I heard that.
I still don't know what you're talking about.
This is horrible.
About cooking or?
I hate you. This is horrible.
Are you talking about that?
I heard that people of color.
Now you're speaking my language.
Think that this is a stereotype, but it's a stereotype because it's, you know, there's parts of it that's true. Mm-hmm. People of color feel that if they like. To go down on a woman, that makes them less of a man.
Really?
That makes them not a real man.
It's good
to
More
do
black
that.
Bitches for us.
That's what
right?
I'm saying. But
no, I'm a giver.
Are you a giver?
I'll be honest. I'm not a huge fan of the reception. Like, I'm not a huge fan of the blowjob, if you would.
Goodbye.
Oh, well, there was our show. Give us
what?
Send us an email.
What is wrong with you?
You just broke my recorder.
Oh,
Jesus
sorry.
Christ.
That's my bad. Again, I'm new. I don't know how to fillet into a mic. But listen, I never went to prison. You don't like to receive. You don't like a blow job.
Here's the thing. I don't hate it. It's just not like I don't. Maybe it's here. Maybe this is a better way of putting it. I don't understand the craving, if you would. I don't understand the. And here's, let me, because this, here's what's happening with this.
Mangina.com.
There's a boomerang effect that is happening.
Uh-oh.
That what's happening is that my poor wife is now being portrayed as someone who does not know how to do it. She knows how to do it.
Why?
She knows what she's doing.
Why is she being portrayed that way?
Because if I don't enjoy it, that means it's not being done right, I think. You know me. You know that it makes sense that I would not. So if, here's the thing. Beer and football and blowjobs is what I'm supposed to like.
Yes.
Not Ryan Gosling movies.
No.
The
Notebook. That's a Ryan Gosling movie.
That's your only reference. See, I could come up with a couple more.
I got
Crazy Stupid Love, probably the best of his
Green Lantern?
No, Ryan Reynolds. I don't know if that makes me nerdy and or a chick to know that.
Oh, man.
But
Crazy Stupid Love
is it's more of a Steve Carell vehicle. But Ryan Gosling stole the show with those abs.
Oh my gosh. So
here's my point. My point is that it's not. I don't crave it. I don't sit there and go, God, why am I not? Now I may not get it. I don't get blowjobs like every week. But I would say once a new moon when there is a harvest happening,
is that monthly then?
I guess, sure.
Oh wow, that's good. That's
pretty solid.
You're doing good.
Now she does it. Here's the thing that we do. Oh man, there's people that know my wife that listen to the show. But anyway,
I know your wife.
It's fair enough. it's not like we finish. You don't understand?
Yes.
It's not like
you don't need to color. You don't need to use too many more pencils in your crayon box right now. I understand what you're saying.
Pencils in my crayon box.
Yeah.
Is that a different one? Because I don't think we're doing that. Is that part of this A spot? Is
the
A
spot.
Put a pencil in her crayon box?
Get out the sharpener. No, I understand. I get it. That you just get in there for a little bit. I'm a big fan of getting in there and just getting things, warming up the oven.
But I will listen. I will go down on a chick. It doesn't even have to be my wife, evidently, by that sentence. I will. I'm a frequenter. I'm a Panera Bread cardholder. If that makes sense.
Okay.
I'm a fan of the muffins.
Sure. Paradise Bakery, Corner Bakery, Atlanta Bread Company.
Yes.
I get this. I'm following
you. The Atlanta Bread Company is for the black ladies.
ABC.
That's what it's about.
Easy as 1, 2, 3.
Well, let's figure out, or did you have a point when we started to talk around?
Well, we were talking about the second clitoris,
I
was just wondering if you were a fan, because some men won't do it. And I always find that funny because men are very much like, got to get my blowjob.
Yeah.
Got to do that. Got to get that done. But then aren't reciprocating. They don't want to go the other way. And I'm a big fan
of shocked at how I really,
tit for tat.
I feel like that's like a wives tale. Well said. It's like a wives tale because it's so irrational to say, listen, why don't you gag yourself on this donkey dong I'm carrying, because every guy listening to this show is swinging from the knees up, is what I'm saying.
Except for Bill Glass.
He doesn't listen anymore.
Tiny penis.
Bill Glass. So unfair. But anyway,
because he's never been unfair to me on this show.
Fair enough.
Thank you.
Totally fair.
Tit for tat. That's what we're gonna call this episode. Tit for tat.
Please do not tweet Bill and say that Joseph Bear said something about him, because I don't. I haven't talked to him in a while, and I don't know what his mood will be. But anyway, so here's my point. Thank you for listening. We had a good run.
Hey, Bill.
What was I going to say now?
You were going to say that I was the number one finisher in fantasy football 2 years ago.
You were. You were.
Number one.
So we had to give it to some kind of your prize to a runner-up of some kind.
To a chick.
Yeah. Wow.
With a second clitoris.
As they all do, evidently. We're going to get into that a little bit later.
Can't wait to find it.
We'll be right back after these messages.
You know what? She's in Denver.
This would be a great episode to play Ashley Madison. But anyway, go ahead.
I don't know what that is, but what I do want is I do want to find it after I find the first one.
Yeah.
I've heard rumor of this clitoris, of this man in the boat.
Yeah.
And one day I'm going to find it, man.
And then it's going to be like, Eureka. And then you're like, I know you. Hold on, honey. Buckle up.
Yeah.
This. Waiting around the corner. Here comes number two.
I feel like a
judging by this diagram,
49er.
How dare you?
What do you mean? Searching for gold.
Oh, good point.
Thank you.
I thought you were. I don't know why.
defensive.
Unfairly.
They lost the Super Bowl. I understand.
Yeah, I'm a little hurt. I haven't gotten over it yet. 8 months later.
My vagina.
But judging by this diagram, around the corner may not be too far off what I'm seeing.
I heard that around the corner is where fudge is made.
It might be also where the second clitoris is lying. But. let me get back to the point at hand is that I think it's completely irrational that a guy would say, you know, listen, you know, try to breathe and swallow this at the same time. Meanwhile, I'm not going to go anywhere near those lady bits. You know what I mean? In my opinion,
not cool.
Now, the majority of my vaginal experience has been with my wife. It is no secret on this show. I have had four other partners. So for me to be talking about sex in any way, shape, or form and have any kind of credibility,
No.
But if you're Amish and happen to have broken away and found an iPod and now listening to the show, let me tell you a thing or two, my good friend. Not too bad. Not too bad going down to the...
No.
Taking a visit to Pike's Market, if you would.
Big fan of the fish market. Slinging that fish across.
I'll sling it.
It's the best.
I recently, might be an overshare, but too late. We're already down the golden path. Let's do it right.
Sure.
I recently brought my wife to full completion.
Oh, yeah.
While doing that. Never been able to do that before. Been with her for almost 2 decades. I mean, I've given her orgasms in other ways. So
you shut your mouth. You've never done it? Oh.
It was never her thing.
Isn't it great?
Oh, my gosh.
I'm a big fan of that.
Yeah.
Because you feel, wow, I did that. With just my mouth.
Yeah.
I brought you, and it's amazing, and they're, you know, bucking like a bronco, and you're just holding on. It's amazing.
Yes, it's good times.
Your lady listeners are just rolling their eyes, hating us now.
Which we have to, there's a message I have to dig up, because this might be fodder for her to send another email. We were talking about clogged breast milk ducts a while ago, and we were completely wrong on every terminology and everything we were saying.
Oh, well, excuse us for caring about our wives and talking about something that really affected us.
She wasn't angry. She was just saying it was hilarious hearing you guys talk about breastfeeding and using all the wrong terms.
She has three clitorises. Yeah. Clitori?
Hers is on her breast.
Clitori.
Had a clogged duct. That's why I call it mastitis, which I think is the word we use wrong. But anyway, let's get back to this second clitoris.
Yeah, come on. Kegel or not to Kegel?
Anatomically, it is found in the deepest part of your vagina is where it is, right in front of your cervix.
If it's deep in there, I'm never going to find it with my tiny, tiny penis.
So, yes, I lied. This isn't exactly a second clitoris, but the pleasure generated by this place is so intense, it can be equivalent to or superior to that a clitoris orgasm. And if you haven't discovered it yet, do yourself a favor and leave your clitoris alone for a moment and literally spend time inside yourself.
Oh, boy.
That's where I would like to be. I'd like to be inside.
Inside yourself?
Wait, no, no. Oh, God. No, sorry. Stop the music. I meant.
Stick a tiny rod up my penis and get up in there.
I'm just going to get a pipe cleaner and find the second head. What's our erogenous zone? That's unfair that our whole genital is in erogenous. Don't we have a clitoris?
We have so many nerve endings on our penis.
Yeah, isn't it the bottom of the head of it or something like that? I don't know. I saw some movie where I feel like some chick was talking to somebody about flicking their tongue at the bottom of a penis, and that would make a man
like at the shaft?
No, like right at the bottom of the head.
Oh, yeah.
Like right where what I would call the penal butt.
I'm getting a little blood swollen right at this exact moment just talking about it.
I'm more than a little. I'm at full mass. Is that uncomfortable? Is that weird to bring up?
Is there like a little Thai massage place around here I can blow up?
I'm sure there's more than one.
There's probably 1,000.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm sure, right there where the head.
I don't know what it's called. We don't have a turn. But it's easy for us.
Happy place.
Yeah, just touch it. Touch
just
it.
Touch it. We don't have names. Just touch it.
They have maps. Look. I'll put a link to this up here.
Please.
But when you look at this, by the way, look at the attention to pubic hair in this picture. I'm so sorry, listeners. Please hit pause and just pull your car over and look this up because it'll probably make the next 5 to an hour.
That lawn needs mowing.
Yeah. Well, not that it needs. I'm not ashamed of some pubic hair, but I'm pretty sure there isn't like seeds at the top of it. It looks like one of those whisper willow things from Legend of Sleepy Hollow. You know what I'm talking about? Those things that would hit the. Never mind.
Maybe the Lord of the Rings. If you remember, when they were climbing the mountain to Sodor, that they were looking for the golden goose egg.
She goes on to say, "How can I wake this up?" Some of us, through exploring intercourse or sex toys, naturally awaken this area. However, some of us need to explore a little more intentionally.
Here we go.
We all can exercise and enhance this area through regular stimulation. Why? Mm-hmm. We have heard that the last 2/3 of our vagina has less sensitivity than the first 1/3. This is true for an atrophied or untrained pelvis. All right, snap a doodle.
Let's get in the vagina gym.
Once we exercise our vaginas more regularly, however, mm-hmm. we start to enervate.
That's good.
Enervate for anybody who wants to laugh at my inability to.
What else could it be? You're right.
Yeah. Our vagina and surrounding pelvic region. This means that we actually grow more nerves and erectile tissue. That's right. You get a fucking man rod, bitches. And with this grows our capacity for pleasure. Here are a few ways to exercise this deeper part of our vaginas. I am just now realizing, as I read this, mm-hmm. that what I am doing is I am only, since this is a show, I know we have moms that listen to the show, mm-hmm. which, by the way, I want all of your husbands to thank me for what I have done for them. I'm sure in some way, shape, or form, there's been some kind of sexual favor. Although I think the chicks that listen to this already do that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I think they take care of their men.
Yeah,
I think
that's why they get the humor. But
exactly.
The guys that listen to the show that have a more traditional or stereotypical relationship, mm-hmm. they're gonna have to find lots of ways to have a friend email them this link, you know, to their wife or something.
Yeah,
or I don't know, or like, because I don't know how this is helping guys, because so far maybe later on it just feels very masturbatory for the lady. How is this gonna help us?
No. I think that's part of it. I mean, there might be some masturbatory goings-ons for the lady with the man present and being a part of that.
Well done.
And then she shows him how to get there, be it fanger, as you like to say, or, you know, tongue or penis. Any way you slice it, you're getting up in there.
Yeah.
And you're going to find C number two.
Yeah. Here are a few ways to exercise this deeper part of our vagina.
Here we go.
We practice sucking up a jade egg, a sex toy, or our partner. I'm not sure what
you're losing me now.
I think that what they're talking about, and I've heard tale that ladies of the night who will dance at a gentleman when it's his last day as a single man, they will dance for a group of him and his friends.
Uh-huh.
And that they will pick up things with their lady bits. And maybe that's what they're saying. Is like you worry, you know, like you.
I've heard rumor of them being able to take dollar bills off the floor, you know.
I've heard them actually clean under the bed.
They can actually just take a dollar and then make change, and 75 cents comes out. Say, I just want to give you a quarter. Can you make change?
Yes, I can. We continue milking our egg, toy, or partner. This is easier if our partner isn't doing a lot of moving. We can massage this area to awaken it and further enhance it. Surprise bonus that comes with waking up this epic spot. Lubrication! We are meant to be juicy. Hell yes, you are.
Mm-hmm.
And this leads to more and more juiciness. These words really sound like a guy wrote this to me. Am I crazy?
This is 50 Shades of Grey by a dude.
But yeah, like I just feel like chicks, when talking about their lady bits, don't use words like juicy.
But you know what? Maybe she's doing that in order to get the men to come on board.
Because she knows that we're Googling stuff about clitorises more than anybody else.
Well, exactly.
Well done. Sarira dalatetetapate.
Namaste.
In fact, if we have issues with lubrication, we would benefit greatly from a regular practice of this deep internal massage. The intensity of pleasure may require us to pause between orgasms just so we could better assimilate our expanding bliss. Wow. They need an applause break in the middle of their vaginas. The after bonus for heterosexual couples is that it feels amazing to our partner. As we get stronger and stronger, his pleasure equally intensifies.
Mm-hmm.
We have a second epicenter, or as I like to say, epic enter. That's what she does. The posterior fornix. This is where I think all the guys are interested.
Oh, now we're knocking on the back door?
Yep. Located behind the cervix in the same depths as the anterior fornix is what I call the hidden blissgasm or bliss spot.
Wait, I'm freeze. Are we going up the butt at this point?
I think so.
I'm sorry.
It is.
I need you to break it down like I'm seven.
I know.
You're losing me, and I want to be on board.
It is snoring peacefully in most of us, but trust me when I say that it doesn't mind a little awakening so long as it isn't a rude one. This place is best stimulated by a finger, but also by a toy or partner.
Finger.
A finger is a finger allows us to sense more thoroughly spot we are massaging and assist us in creating powerful biofeedback loops of pleasure. Mm. Yet we are more than the sum of our parts. So I think we're on the home stretch.
Okay.
Our cervix, which is conveniently close to both the anterior and posterior fornix, is not disconnected from them. In fact, it is vital to include our cervix in this three-part harmony. For most of us, the pain of an accidental bump from our partner's deep thrusting is how we discover our cervix. Ow.
Yeah.
But if we were to take a finger and gently massage our cervix, something remarkable happens. At first, we may not experience much sensation as our cervix may be numb. However, through regular massage and pelvic exercise, we encourage a stronger blood flow to our cervix and therefore create more cervical sensation. It is possible to induce orgasm both locally in the cervix and in the area of our physical heart. Huh? It literally could feel like a heartgasm. Delicious.
You're welcome, everybody. You're welcome, listeners.
Another sex trick. This practice of awakening our deeper erotic zones invites us to trust, love, and explore ourselves without being goal-oriented. We literally are invented to shift our focus from doing something sexually into relaxing into being a sexual being. With this focus on
now, that sounds like a woman.
Yeah.
Like saying, it's not about the end result. It's about the journey.
Yes. If surrendering to your erotic wisdom is something that sounds delicious to you, then a great place to start is my book, Click Here to Get It Now. Here's what I love about any kind of blog post or any of these things. I also like the comments. hold on. This is funny. The first one coming to us January 17, 2013 at 3:42 p.m. from Patrick says, there was some class action lawsuit against some company that built medical implants. They were intended to treat a condition involving a prolapsed uterus where the uterus drops out into the vagina and their implants were not working and causing terrible pains. When I learned about this, I searched for images and the ones I found were disturbing. I considered that a little muscle building in the right place, as mentioned here, might go a long way in avoidance of such condition and the quack medicine available to treat it. I'm not giving medical advice, just proposing that what seems like common sense that tuning for pleasure, as suggested, may have fringe benefits in other ways also. Then I'm almost ended too prematurely, much like many of the people involving in this.
Zing.
Oh, and there's another thing. Guys like me with small penises, leprechaun thing, will likely never be able to reach the depths of such beauty. Maybe women can work around such shortcomings by doing this. Wow.
Oh.
And then she says, hey, Patrick, how sweet. And to your guys like me comment, I say it's not the length of the wand, but the magic of the rabbit. May the skillful, tender lover in you come out in all his glory, because it's not going to do a real fucking thing to me unless it's 5 inches at least. No, she didn't say that. So according to this picture, to go back to your thing, because I thought she was just going to say it, here's the rectum. Right?
Yep.
You could see that because it is the canyon that is opposite of this dark forest known as the horeal region.
Uh-huh.
And there is a posterior fornix, the bliss spot. So it's like a gordito taco of something that's folded in half on the backside of the...
You're so romantic.
I know. On the backside of the bladder.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to guess that's a uterus. And so you're welcome, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Ignite yourself.
If that's not worth $2 a month, come on. Sorry, $2 a month. Yeah. Get in. I've done it.
Yeah.
Do it. You're learning things. You know what? I'm here to help teach.
Here's what I've noticed. I've noticed a direct correlation, and I may have to start paying Rachel Gibbs. If I make a ton of money off this, I'm going to have to pay. I'm going to pay Rachel Gibbs and Dr. J, of course, for their time. But
they're professionals.
Yeah. But Rachel Gibbs' input into the show has literally gotten a lot of dudes laid. Like, I've gotten many an email saying that they have participated in her advice and have seen the fruit of the labor.
That's good.
Now they're going to be having anal sex because of me. Just stay friendly out there, guys. That's all I'm saying.
Just make sure there's a shower involved before and after. Let's keep things clean.
Let's make it happen, Captain.
That's not my cup of tea, but
yeah, me neither. I could go my entire life without ever. Here's the thing: partially afraid to try it. Like, I'm a guy who likes to try things, but I'm afraid to try it.
Are you though?
What if it becomes my thing that I? That's, you know what I mean.
Oh, you need that.
Yeah,
I think that's what happens with a lot of people, is that they need that.
They try it once
in order to completely get off, or you know, for it to be completely 100% pleasurable. They need something that's a little bit off. Like, what's the thing that killed the NXS singer? Auto asphyxiation.
Yes.
Autoerotic asphyxiation. I think that's, he went down that path, or people go down that path where they try something different and they love it so much, and then it ends up killing them, or or killing their relationship if it's something to that effect, where it's, we got to do it this way. You've got to almost choke me out for me to be completely
happy. I need you to put this Raggedy Ann wig over the top of your vagina, and then you got to put this Andy wig on your head.
Okay.
And then I need you to read this limerick by Edgar Allan Poe.
And if you don't do it, I'm not going to get off. Therefore, we can't stay together.
Yeah.
And so then people will acquiesce. And then all of a sudden, you've got some weird stuff going on.
But I like the idea of my scenario, meaning that a marriage falls apart because of somebody's inability to do a cold read of a limerick. You can't give it the gravitas.
It sounds like, you know what? It sounds really red. That take was really red. I want you to really feel it
and emote it. Yeah, don't perform it.
Quick story. I was living in Los Angeles a long time ago, and I was single, and I went out with this woman who was about 15 years older than me.
Okay.
Hello. So I was probably 25, and she was in her early 30s. It was great. And we went out, and then afterwards she was like, let's go back to my place. I'm down. Let's go. So we went. We started fornicating. Mm-hmm. And then we were doing it, and I went accidentally in the wrong area.
What?
Right?
It was I've heard tale of this, but my first-hand experience.
And she said to me, how did you know?
Whoa!
And I was like, Justin,
wow.
Justin,
hey-o.
And so I said, I was completely frozen. I didn't know what to do because I didn't mean to go there. How did you know? And then it went, and then basically went down the rabbit hole of.
You found her posterior.
That's
phoenix.
What, exactly. And then for the rest of the session, that's all she wanted. And boy, she was extremely happy, which made me feel great. Yeah. And you know, it wasn't horrible. It was nice. It was different. Never done it before. And I can't say that I was a huge fan, but it's, you know, having her so happy was pretty great. I felt
Which I think is what ultimately everybody is a fan of.
I think you and I are. I know you are. I mean, we're givers. A lot of guys could give a shit if the woman is getting off, is happy. They just want to make sure that they're getting theirs. Then they go to sleep. That's the caveman, stereotypical, you know, stupid
do
guy.
Do you really think guys like that exist?
Yes.
Really?
I do.
Wow.
But I think you and I are special.
But here's the thing. I feel like if they existed, that I would hear more conversations from them. You know what I mean? Like, I had a story one time where I tried to save face about doing a two-pump chump on a girl I was dating way back when. When I say way back when, I mean in high school. And I remember telling the other people, like, yeah, I really showed her. And then everybody kind of gave me a look of like.
Like I'm giving you right now.
Yeah. Like,
I understand.
Yeah. And that's when I realized, I'm like. Oh, yeah, that is. That doesn't make me look good at all. Like,
I don't even understand what you mean by saying I really showed her.
Well, because it was a situation where the girl I was with, she had dumped me a long time ago, and then she came back. And this is because, again, I have a mangina.
Yes.
So my way of just showing her was that this is me trying to be a man and that I'd used her completely for my own pleasure and then cast her aside as if she were a wench in my court.
But where does two-pump chump come in? You just, like...
I
got off. She didn't. You didn't let her. You didn't let her.
No.
I understand. Now I understand.
I was literally a two pump.
You're like, I'm in. I'm out. You get nothing.
Yeah, but it wasn't like
you
in the
cold hearted.
It wasn't
snake.
Like in the moment that I was like. It wasn't like. It was like. Oh, like if, so. If anything, it was more of a pat on her back, than it was a slam. It was like, yeah, he can't get enough of this.
So yeah, so she loved it, and then we. Finished and then relaxed, and then we were going at it again, and that's all that was all she wanted. She was like, okay, let's do that again. I'm like, okay. And then in the morning, that was
again.
Yeah, again. But then when I finally left, we never went out again.
I was
a little creeped out, and it was just a little too. I think I'm a little bit like you in that I'm pretty vanilla when it comes to the love making. I'm certainly not afraid to once in a while get a chunky monkey situation or a Cherry Garcia. What's wrong with you? Why are you laughing?
I don't know any of these terms.
Yes, you do. These are other flavors of ice cream.
I understand what they are.
I gave my wife the chunky monkey. And then last week, Cherry Garcia.
I gave my wife chunky monkey one time, but I think she felt it was more half-baked than anything.
You gave her chunky waist. She's like, have you gained a couple pounds? Because and what's with you putting a banana in my vagina?
Joseph said you would like it.
He said, try the chunky mushroom. But yeah, I mean,
I know you like Cherries Garcia, but I thought this would be.
I'm very vanilla. And it was our first time doing it. And it was just a little too wild for me. Yeah. So we didn't continue after that. It's like, I'm very, what's the word? Traditional, you know, especially at first. I'm very traditional that way. Yeah. I always have been. And I'm not afraid, you know, to get a little.
I know exactly what you're saying.
Experimental.
Right.
And. But still, I mean, but to say that, that's I'm kind of like you, where it's like, whoa, doggy style. We are crazy.
Well, hello, Mrs. Bears.
But then I hear other people do, and I'm just blown. People that are look completely normal, and they do crazy, crazy stuff in order to get off, they get to a point where that's what they need. They need to bring in another person. Yeah. They need to use objects.
Yeah.
Those are the kinds of things that I'm not a fan of. I've never really gone down that road, but I'm trying not to judge people that do that. This is what I like, and luckily I'm with someone that's in the same, you know, has the same feelings.
The same tournament bracket.
Has the same palette of ice cream.
Yeah, right. More vanilla.
Yeah, I mean, we can go mint chip.
Yeah.
But Rocky Road.
Double fudge brownie, that's where you have to bail the next morning.
That's right. Even though I ate a lot of it that night, I didn't really eat it. There was no salad being tossed, but this has gone downhill.
Well, this
Dad,
is what I love.
Welcome to the Dad Podcast. This is just gross.
You, as I think as a joke, you said when you said you were coming over, we're going to do an episode.
Yeah.
You said, let's get naughty tonight.
Naughty.
Through pure, organically. Like, let me just explain that Joseph and I did not have a production meeting.
Nope.
Where we sat down and discussed the second clitoris thing. This is just something that.
No, I played with his kids, and then we said, let's podcast.
Yeah, and then.
That's all that happened.
We get 20 feet away from my family, and it's like, second clitoris, fucking in the ass, with ice cream all over the place. God damn it. Yeah.
But really, I love her. I respect women.
No, I think it's a solid. I could agree wholeheartedly in that. If my wife came to me and all of a sudden she's wearing, you know, like a leather suit of some kind, and she has a horse crop with her,
mm-hmm.
there's a part of me that is a man that will go, all right, let's do it. Like, mm-hmm. I'm in.
Giddy up.
But if it becomes her nightgown, you see what I'm saying?
Yes. Like,
you know what I mean? Then I go,
right.
Can we just cuddle?
I guess role playing is real popular, but if it's like you have to be another person in order to get your wife off, then that might be a problem.
I feel like let's honestly do the math. There are how many Oscars have we had? 75? What was the number that they just celebrated, a big year or something?
That sounds good. Let's go with that.
Right,
I don't know.
75 years of Oscars. So
okay.
75 times some dude has been said that he is the best actor of his time at that given moment.
Okay.
I feel like there is no level of acting that is in the middle of America that could convince me that my wife is someone else is what I mean. Like, I just feel like the role playing, like, that's what I would do. If she came in and was like, hi, you know, like the scenario is like a flight attendant at a bar or something. You know what I mean? You go and you pick each other up at a bar.
Yeah, that doesn't do anything for me. Now, if my wife dressed in some kind of fun outfit, I wouldn't expect her to take on another persona, but I would love seeing her in a sexy little outfit.
Right.
That sounds good.
Yeah, like a cheerleader, the Catholic schoolgirl at her Staples. Are you talking about full-blown Teddy? You're just saying...
No, I'm talking like a cute nurse or...
Yeah,
I like the idea of the flight attendant.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, if anything, if she comes to bed in anything, you know, then an extra large t-shirt and...
Which also would do it for me.
Yeah, you're right.
You know
and
what I mean?
Boy shorts.
Yep.
That's good, too.
That's a winner.
Yoga pants.
But I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying that, Lululemon, the best thing ever invented.
Expensive
for
and worth it.
Yeah.
Because they really raise the butt. The butt goes up like a little shelf.
They do? I didn't even know that they had
Lululemon.
That effect.
My wife just has a good butt.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. So does yours. So we're doing well there. But yeah, they do a little lift. Oh, yeah, yoga pants are magic. However, they are kryptonite if they're on the wrong person.
Oh, really?
Have you ever seen, you know, women listeners, listen to me. This is why do women wear those stretch pants, those black, or they, I guess they could be
comfort
workout pants, but very, 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 very large, out of shape women wear them. I mean, everything is
comfort,
just
I
out there comfort, but in public.
Yeah. Here's what I think. Is my assessment is that because I know this as
am
a
I
man,
being a stupid guy.
No, not at all. As a man with a little bit of a belly on me, any kind of
a little bit of a belly,
there is something that is very tempting about an elastic waistband. Okay, now if you're a lady, very few pant options with an elastic waistband that aren't painfully obvious that they are fake pants. You see what I'm saying? So that's what you are. You are. That's the hand of which you are dealt. Is that if you have a little bit of cushion for pushing, you're gonna want a little bit of stretching for Gretchen.
Yeah, I just don't. I've never understood. I've never understood the muffin top. I've never understood the stretch pant. Where?
Well, let's ask her. She's in the other room.
Put who?
Muffin top. That was our old intern from like 3 years.
Oh, sure. Wow. That goes way back. Back to the Bill Glass days. But you know, they should wear some kind of short or skirt that goes over that.
I see.
That's all I'm asking for.
You're saying you can have your elastic waistband.
Sure.
Just hide it. Make it the Wizard of Oz.
No, just put a little something so that we don't have to. I mean, literally, it's almost like they're wearing nothing and their butt is just out there.
Yeah.
And you know what? Some people like that. Some people are the chubby chaser.
Maybe that's what
it
is.
So, yeah, maybe that's.
Maybe it's like guys on Grindr. Which handkerchief do you have and what color and what pocket is it in?
What are you talking about?
You've never talked to our friend Brian Beacock about this?
Now, Grindr, I know from our friend who. Our friend Brian Lancini.
Do I need to edit that out? Am I weird?
I don't know. Maybe no. He's fine. He's been on the show.
No,
but he was on the other show.
Oh, I see.
With Kevin.
Yes.
Yes, that is an app on your phone where you can locate other people that have the same app that are of the homosexual nature that might be interested in hooking up. I don't think he, and I know he doesn't use it to actually do that, but he uses it because he thinks it's funny.
Yeah,
because
because
we'd go out to a restaurant, and he'd turn on his app, and he's like, "There are 7 guys in here on this app," and then the app says 5 feet away, 7 feet away is Tony, and then it has a picture of Tony. So anyway, wait, what were we talking? Where did that come from?
Handkerchiefs and pockets.
What does that mean? Now that I don't know what you're talking
about. So that I thought it was maybe it was from another podcast or something that I listened to about homosexual communication.
Yes.
I listen to a lot of podcasts. that there's colors that there for a while that guys were wearing, and depending on the color and the pocket, that would explain what you were into.
Okay.
So if you were a chubby chaser, you would wear, some kind of brown pocket on your right hand side.
Okay.
That, and there was some kind of delineation to it or whatever that made sense. If you were into the hairy guys, there could be a green one. If you were a power bottom, you would wear purple or, that kind of stuff.
Power bottom. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'm learning a little bit here. I like it.
That's what I do. That's how me and my lady do it. She is a power bottom. Let me just put it that way.
Submissive top?
Yeah.
That's something?
I think that's another one. Submissive is another. Yeah. And there's something to do with the right or the right or the left pant pocket butt cheek thing or whatever is that says what you're either wanting or what you are. Like if it's on your right-hand side, this is what I am. And if it's your left-hand side, it's what I want, if I'm not mistaken. But here's the funny thing, too. You said the word second clitoris, and within 30 seconds I was typing. We've easily talked for 2.5 minutes about this language. No interest in Googling that. None
whatsoever.
Yeah, I'm afraid. I'm afraid of what my computer might show if that happened. If that went down, I would be like, oh, boy. Oh, boy. Never going to unsee that.
Nope. But yeah, so the spandex, I don't get it. But yoga pants on the right person, magic.
Yes.
Magic.
I did not see this Lululemon train coming at all. I'm typing on my computer, I'm sorry, but this is something that just popped in my head that a listener on Facebook, I think it was Ed, sent to me that I thought you would get a kick out of. These are actually, I think Bill knows these guys somehow. This is a blog that is incredibly popular called Please Don't Break My Studio.
Sorry.
Please Don't Break My Studio. It's called HowToBeADad.com, and they have these little entries. And One of them is, Caillou is French for shut up. I'm a lover of many genres and styles of cartoons. My love affair with them began immediately after my womb eviction, and while perhaps not as diverse in selection as I'd like them to be, the absorption of all those years of animated shows has made me into the man I am today. But he goes off on his hatred of Caillou and has some amazing images of Caillou bloody with a butcher knife cutting the head off of his cat. All that stuff. Does your daughter enjoy the Caillou?
No, we've tried. We've had it on. It's on during the Sunny Side Up show on Sprout.
Yes,
and she'll watch it a little bit, but it's nothing that she's ever asked for or wanted.
Yeah.
And I really haven't given it much of a look-see myself, so I know a lot of people don't like
it. Horrible.
Yeah. I guess that's the consensus. I've heard that from a lot of people that he's very whiny.
Yes. The other thing that I thought was interesting, he's now in my act. There was for those of you that remember, Cindy Lopez was on the show a while back, and she was the one that came up to me after seeing me in Sacramento and said, "How come you don't talk about Caillou?" I said, "There's not much to talk about," and then I immediately ranted into my now material on Caillou. But one of the issues I have is that he's bald-headed and no one else is. And they actually answer that. It says, Caillou is purported to mean pebble or bald head in French. And they apparently made him that way because he represents all children. So the idea is that if he's bald, he is, sexually ambivalent or ambiguous, I mean.
Ambiguous.
That's not the right word.
Ambiguous? He
represents
a boy or a girl. Right. A boy or a girl is going to, kind of like Elmo, mm-hmm. like a boy or a girl are going to be fans of that character.
Yeah, yeah, it's not predominantly masculine or feminine.
Right.
So that's one of the things that I thought was interesting. Do you have any shows that your daughter partakes in that drives you nuts or that you enjoy?
Our new big thing in the house. It's something that we've had in the house, and we never did it. We were going to do the sign language with our kid.
Uh-huh.
So my wife got baby signing time. Are you familiar with that?
No.
It's freaking awesome. So we bought it, and we had our kid, and it was a shitstorm of life, and we just never got around to watching it. Well, maybe 4 months ago, she's four and a half now. 4 months ago, she just saw the DVDs sitting, and she goes, "I want to watch that." And we saw it and went, "Oh, we've never even popped this in." 4 years later, after when we were supposed to...
Is it still wrapped in cellophane?
Yeah, you're supposed to start watching this when they're, 3-4 months.
Yeah.
So we pulled this thing out. I know, we're stupid.
Well, it took me a while to figure out what was happening because it didn't make sense, but now I like the image in my head of you guys just tired, sitting on the couch, or just like, "Let's watch this." And then, like, the wave of... Well, I guess we can, but the uncomfort of guilt.
We were gonna
start explaining yourself to your kid.
We were gonna blend
your
food too. Oh crap, we didn't do that either. We still have a food blender in the package in our kitchen,
like a wedding gift.
Yeah,
I know what you mean.
The thing where you can blend your kids.
Yeah, you make them.
Oh my gosh. So anyway, we started watching this baby signing time.
She sent that to the Millers. I think
she is still.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, they're all in. She loves it. She loves it. Now she wants to watch it all the time. And it's actually not horrible. It's original music and it's not annoying. But the woman who narrates it teaches all the signs, and my daughter now knows all, she knows 50 signs now from watching this. It's really, really cool. And we're 7 months pregnant right now, so we're really, I can't wait to teach this to the new baby.
Oh,
so it's a win-win-win.
That's great.
So I guess you asked me if anything's annoying right now. That's really, she's really into that. She's really into a cartoon called Charlie and Lola. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that. It's from England. I think BBC did it, and it's a British cartoon. It's really, really cute. So she found an episode of it on online, and so I started buying the DVDs on eBay. So she's a big fan of that. But no, I will not let her watch The Purple Dinosaur, and she's never asked to watch it. I've never let her watch The Wiggles. Anything that I think I'm going to hate, I just won't. I just don't make it available.
Yeah.
Because I have so many. I used to work with the Big Purple Dinosaur, as did you. And a lot of people would say, "Oh, I have to watch this because my kid makes me.
Yeah.
And I've never understood that. I've never understood my kid makes me. Your kid doesn't make you do anything.
In a world of over 1,000 cable networks.
Well, sure.
Eight of them devoted to children.
Sure, but also you're the adult. You can say no. You can turn off the television.
I agree with that point. I'm saying that there are people, though, that live, like, I think it's easy for us to say maybe because of our upbringing or whatever, but there are people who feel guilty and that they feel like they need to devote more energy to their kid, I guess. I'm not one of them. So that's where I think that comes from, is that they do that because it's like, oh, fuck. And it's easier. It's path of least resistance, because now that they've seen Barney, then, you know, imagine whatever show, if there was a show you didn't like and you just wanted, you are probably more prone to fight the fight to get it over quick, as opposed to letting it run until you hit a breaking point and then fighting a bigger fight.
Right.
Yeah. That's where I am too. Yeah.
Right. And I find myself, everything that she ends up liking, I kind of enjoy as well. And I think she sees that. So she, if we end up watching a lot of Pixar together. So Ratatouille and back in the day, Monsters, Inc., Finding Nemo, Bug's Life, Cars.
Can you watch those? I recently talked about this with Kevin on the show. He thinks he's going to be able to watch these shows unlimited times.
No.
Like 40 times. Like,
no.
And I think this is how good Pixar movies are, is that those are the ones that I think everybody has in their kid library unknowingly, because those are the easiest to swallow in repetition.
Yes. Well, no, we watched probably back in the day when she was 2.5, we probably watched Finding Nemo every night, at least a part of it before bedtime. You know, probably 2 months in a row, the same thing. And you just kind of, you also tune it out. You're not sitting there watching it as well, but it's not an annoying sound. It's not that Wiggles music.
And if you do happen
sound.
To check in, it's not a good movie.
And then you find something that you hadn't seen before. Yeah. So I do like that, but still there comes a point where even the kid, I think, loses interest in it. So one cool thing about my daughter, and I think this is normal for all kids, is that she'll completely walk away from something and not touch something for months and months and months. And then all of a sudden we'll say, I want to watch Tinkerbell. It's like, whoa, we haven't watched Tinkerbell in a year. And then she just picks it right up and she watches it and she's back into it again. So it's so funny, because toys and things, we debate on goodwilling and changing out toys, and we look at each other and say it's going to come back, and it always does. She always comes back to stuff. It's amazing.
Jacob does,
like, too. This little cycle.
Such a different time, and I hate that I have to say that, but it's like Jacob has a birthday party coming. My mother has showed up to the house now twice, once with a suitcase full of toys.
Colorado
mom.
Okay.
She was here literally minutes before you came.
Oh.
And so she'll show up with a suitcase of toys, and then also took him to the library today.
Oh.
And then came back and did a pit stop at Target and picked up even more toys.
Boo.
And it's just, here's the thing. I don't begrudge her wanting to buy toys, but there is a weird dynamic that is unfortunate for my mom, and if you've listened to the show before this episode, and the last time Joseph was on it, you know that my mom and I unfortunately have a weird history due to my parents' divorce and all those circumstances.
Yep.
But it's just interesting that I've realized that when you grow up separate from this parent that you have, right?
Yep.
I'm now smart enough through some therapy that I get that it's not just because she's doing it unintentionally to attack me. It's that I grew up in almost a separate family. And I have a separate set of influences. So things like buying him a toy that shoots slime, to me, is like, well, no shit, Sherlock. But to her, she's like, oh, this looks like something he would enjoy. And that's the extent of where she thinks. And then she just buys and buys whatever he wants. Like, just gives it to him.
Right.
Which I think is fine. That's what grandparents are supposed to do. Mm-hmm. But you can't help but realize that when grandma and grandpa walk away, that there's a little bit of a fight that you have, because either the toy's not working right. Like, she bought him a Ninja Turtle watch, and it's just a cheap, you know, $8 watch. Mm-hmm. Well, my son is uber obsessive. I was like this, only I don't know if I freaked out like he does, but I was obsessed that I had to take care of my things. Everything had to be taken care of.
I
never lost any of my little knives for G.I. Joes or any of that stuff. Mm-hmm. Everything was always taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
So the watch is cheap, and they put two buttons on the left-hand side to make it look like a regular Timex, and then the actual adjust and time set buttons are on the right-hand side.
Okay.
Well, they put fake buttons. Well, he bumps one of the buttons off and loses it. Loses his mind. We're scowling the floor.
Been there.
Like it's a contact lens.
Yep.
And then we put it in, And when I put it in, I kind of look at the watch and I go, oh, shit, it doesn't even do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's, and I'm like, these fuckers who built this didn't even think about what it would do to us. Like, why can't there be a Chinaman somewhere or an 8-year-old boy who should step up from the assembly line?
Oh, boy.
So harsh. But anyway, he listens. He enjoys the show. Fills his 16-hour shifts.
Well, you know, if he wasn't doing that, he'd be, you know, sucking cock on the street. So
right?
He's a win-win.
Finding that posterior phoenix, probably.
Thank you.
So anyway, and then I noticed when I'm looking at the watch that the decal that's on the back end of it has it's like shifted, so you know that it's like it's partially, and I'm like, that's gonna move even more, and I'm cursing it through its protective plate glass going, you stay right there, you motherfucker,
you better go get a backup and have it.
No, I'm not that guy. Like I like,
handy.
So he'll set it, he wanted it to set the time. The fucker can't even read time. And he loses his goddamn mind in the minivan about how it's just blinking. It's just blinking, Dad. It's just blinking one. I said, and I lose it. This is where I'm not a good father.
Here
I go. I said, son, you can't even tell time. Even if it wasn't just blinking one, you wouldn't even know what the hell it is telling you. Right?
There you go.
That's... He goes, huh? I know it's blinking one. And I said, can you read time? And he said, no. I said, then what it says is irrelevant. Just look at the Ninja Turtles and enjoy. And there will come a time when you will learn to tell time. And then this watch will be useful to you.
Oh.
In fact, if you want, I could sit down and because he knows his numbers. I can tell him how to do it. And I go, but not right now when I'm driving the minivan. I can't do that.
Right.
And so then cut to, he was playing with something. And then out of nowhere, oh, no! Oh, no! And we're like he lost a limb. We come running in. The paper had shifted and covered part of the time display.
Yeah.
He lost his shit. And here's what sucks is that when you're in the every parent has been through this. When you're in the middle of that fit, right, there's a twofold thing. There's a system in my brain, or maybe I'm unfairly pushing myself into every other parent. There's a system in my brain that's saying, A, I need to find a way to shut this kid the fuck up. And then B, I have a little bit of like, oh, I'm so sorry that he's sad. You know what I mean? Like at the same time, and I want to fix that. Uh-huh. So I'm constantly, you know, doing that in my head, and we're trying to calm. And then what happens is that he loses his mind to a point that cannot be tolerated. I put him to bed because it was within an hour of his bedtime, but he had been showing signs of needing to sleep for whatever reason. So I put him to bed. I said, he screamed at his mother while she was helping him brush his teeth, and that's where I draw the line. You don't.
Sure.
I talk to your mother that way, not you. So he screamed at her, and I put him to bed, and he's losing his mind, and he forgot what it was all about. He hasn't seen the watch in 24 hours now, and it's a moot point. And all it makes me think of is like all that energy that was wasted on this fucking watch.
Mm.
So many. I feel like all of us have examples of that where it's like. It's like a girlfriend in junior high when you get your heart broken and you're like, you think that's the end of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And your parent, my dad used to always say, goes, this is nothing. Everything, whatever you think you're going through is bullshit. And like, I remember going, fuck you, man. This is serious for me. And then now you look back, you're like, eh, it kind of was right. He's a little right.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I just babbled a lot there for
no, but I'm trying to think of what got us to that. We were talking about TV shows. I went off on a rant. Oh, I was trying to finish my rant on.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No. I was just, you just jumped in, which was great. We were talking about parents who say, my kid makes me watch this. We have to watch this. It's that I don't understand parents that say that they have to do, you know, the kid, it's basically the kid running the show, which I've never understood that of the kid making the decisions, you know. Oh, I hate this character. I hate Caillou because my kid makes me watch it. Your kid's not making you know. My kid has to watch this. You know, you can step in, but if it's you want your kid to enjoy something that they like, but at the same time, you know, if you don't agree with a certain show or a certain message that a show is giving, then turn it off, and that's okay. You have that control as a parent, and that's something that I try to do. If I'm don't think something is smart enough for my kid, because there's a lot of really dumb children's television out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's that blank stare blinking that you talk about, where they'll ask the question to the like Dora the Explorer
for obvious.
It's pretty dumb.
Yeah,
and I think it makes my kid a little dumber when she watches Dora the Explorer, so we don't watch it.
Which is weird because the intent is that they act like they're teaching. Oso is my bitch.
Is Oso even still a thing?
I think he's over. I think he's done.
I remember when she was really young, it was just coming out, and we would watch it a little bit. She never really got into it, but that Oso is another one that just stares at the, you know, asks a question and then waits 10 beats and then answers the question for you.
Team Umizoomi.
We watched that.
I think does that. I saw that
Ready
they did
action.
That, and I don't know if it's because of his age or what, but Jacob was into that.
Yeah,
and they seem to find a way to ask questions that then you can answer. I don't know how.
Something
or why.
About it being math.
Here's a weird thing that you
I'm
will
into.
Get a kick out of. I just realized, and I don't think I've said this on the show. I'm gonna when I feel comfortable enough, I might try to ask him to be on this show. But new to my kid's preschool, Joe from Blue's Clues. Recently moved out here from either Florida or New York.
Is Joe the first or the second? Oh, yeah.
Second guy from Blue's Clues.
Who's the voice of Bot on Umizoomi.
Oh,
did you know that?
I did not know that.
He's the voice of Bot.
He's the voice of Bot
I've
on
I've done
Umizoomi.
Some stuff with them for Nickelodeon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's cool.
Yeah, I did a thing at the Nick Hotel with him a long-ass time
How
ago.
How funny.
And I saw and I felt comfortable because I saw him. I go, where the fuck do I know this guy? And it wasn't one of those things where I go, I've seen him on TV. And then the director told me that, she goes, hey, that guy used to be on Blue's Clues. I go, oh. That's where it was. And then I stupidly blurted out, I go, I did a show with him. Her not being in show business thinks that we've done a television show.
Right.
She goes, oh, what show were you guys on? I go, no, I did like a Nick Hotel thing or whatever with mm-hmm. him. And so she mentioned it to him. Like, she goes, one of the dads did a Nickelodeon show thing with you. And I'm like, he's probably now looking at me like, no, that guy was a fucking lackey who poured slime on kids. I know he's not going to look down on me. He's not a dick. But
right.
I'm saying he's not going
to Have you
remember.
Talked to him yet?
No. Why, there hasn't been an opportune time.
Talk to him. Make friends. Get him on the show.
I will
That's
get him
cool.
on the show. Because he's
cool.
got two kids. He's got a new baby and a daughter that I think is in the 2 or 3 year old class.
Mm-hmm.
And then a young baby boy that I think is not even one.
That's
so,
cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
And he comes in. It's funny because he may not know this, but because I am the gossip guy in the I'm a stay-at-home dad.
Mm-hmm.
So I get to talk to the moms and the teachers.
Oh, man.
I get all the drama. I get all the gossip.
You're in that hen house.
Yeah.
You're the rooster in the hen house. You're the cock.
Yeah. Watch them ladies, boys. Watch them ladies. Because if I drop about 25 LBs, you know they're going to be falling on mine, little man rod, and I'll be hitting that posterior fenix.
40.
Now I know where it is. 40?
40 pen? I'm just kidding.
45.
cock in the hen house.
Oh, that's funny.
That's cool. Yeah, Umizoomi's good. For some reason, I think that's okay because it's real math-based, and so it's a little bit different than other shows because it's all based on numbers. So for some reason, I'm just weird. I arbitrarily think that a show is good or bad, and I just run with it.
Yeah.
And
I'm happy because Jacob is into, like, SpongeBob SquarePants now. And
oh, we're
watch
not,
all the
yeah, we're not
superhero
there.
Shows. Well, yeah, you have a girl. Like, so.
We don't
well,
do
girls could be SpongeBob.
We don't do Phineas and Ferb yet. She doesn't I've tried to watch that, and she's not. I heard that's a good show. I've
it's
never
a great
watched,
show.
Right. And SpongeBob I've always
really,
enjoyed,
really
but,
well done.
But she doesn't care about SpongeBob. She does like Sophia the First, which is...
Your time to shine, Sophia.
Sophia. that is... She'll watch that, and that's always fine. The music... I actually know the guy who does the music for that.
Uh-huh.
He directed a couple things I did back when I lived here.
Uh-huh.
And so she enjoys that quite a bit. So, yeah, and that seems...
Jacob likes that
it's
stuff,
okay.
too. He likes him some Sophia the First.
What's not to like? Yeah. You know? She's
he's like his father in that way. He could go out on a date night with the ladies and...
Oh, he's going to be... He's going to be the cock in that hen house.
Yeah.
He's going to be the boy in school that is best friends with 7 girls.
Yep. That was me.
Me too.
Yeah, and
me
here's
too.
The thing, if it's a double-edged sword. It's nice because you get to learn a lot about women,
but then you're in the friend zone.
You're in the friend zone.
I was in the friend zone a lot.
Oh my gosh. Now, here's the
thing
though.
Break out of that zone.
I figured out from my brother-in-law on the show that he wasn't on the show. I don't know why. I said what I was going to say is that I bitched a lot about his family on the show, but he makes me laugh a lot. But anyway, he's actually listened to an episode, and I kind of had a moment where I'm like, geek.
Which one?
But he said he wasn't his thing. He got bored. He tuned it out, which is fine.
That's
why I like the guy, because he's very honest. But anyway,
funny.
So he said he told me, he was the one that told me, you're in the friend zone with Natalie. He goes, here's what you got to do. You got to hit that. Isn't that weird to
wait,
have that?
Wait.
You've never heard the story?
Recently told you were in the friend zone?
No. Oh, when I first
back
was
in the
dating,
day.
Yes, when I was in high school with Natalie.
Ah.
He told me that because he knew that I was helping him move to kind of show her that I was a good person and try and get in. And he was in so many words saying, this is not the way to do it. You don't do it by being nice.
He was telling you to hit his sister?
Yeah, hit it. He was like, you got to seduce her. Now, I think it's my impression. I've never actually had this conversation with him. But my impression is that he thinks that he knew I was a nice kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Nothing bad was going to come out of me. I wasn't going to get her pregnant or anything like that.
Right.
Like, I was working. I had jobs.
Sure.
All that stuff. So that's my assumption. Maybe I'm giving him too much credit. Maybe he was just like, let's get another guy laid. Why not? I don't know. But it worked. He wasn't too far off. I ended up marrying her and having two wonderful children with her. So it's not like it was a bad move on his part or mine.
Your kids are so cute. They were so cute tonight.
You.
Oh, my gosh.
Thank you. They're
just walked in and they literally just conversation. Boom.
There's people.
There's this. There's that. There's this. There's that. Come look at this. Come look at that. I don't know if they remember me, but
I asked my friend, this is what they do. I said, Dad's friend Joseph is coming over. And he goes, you have a friend coming over? Like, he like lights up like, oh. And I said, yeah, Joseph. He goes, do I know him? And I said, yeah. I go, do you remember playing Captain America with him? He goes, no. He goes, well, I played Captain America with him. I go, well, kind of. I said, Grandma Cheryl got you a card and you would open it and then you would run around and with your shield and stuff like that and do a flip over the couch. And we played that for a little bit. He's like, oh, okay. But here's what I've noticed. And I think everybody who has kids knows this, too, is that there are people that have a natural aura around them that kids kind of go, ah. It's why, you know, chicks, like, when they see you play with a kid and do well, their ovaries catch on fire, you know, that they don't – it's not like they just – they go to that. I'm trying to give you a compliment, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Oh, thanks.
Clearly, you have children, but I think it would have been you even beforehand. Kelly from the Sunny Side Up show came by my house earlier this week.
Mm.
My kids fell in love with her. Also an unfair example because she's a fucking host of a kid show.
Yeah, she's great.
But, yeah,
she's great with kids.
Phenomenal. Phenomenal.
Ah, love her.
And she was like, having the time of her life and goofing around with the boys. She played Lego Batman with Jacob.
I believe it. I got hosed the other night. We went to a rec center. Riley really wanted to go swimming, so we found a different rec center because ours was closed. Long story longer, they had this amazing slide, and Riley's like, let's do the slide, Dad. So we did the slide, and my wife is 7 months pregnant, so she was just sitting in the lazy river watching us do this slide, and Riley was like, do it again, do it again. We did it 20 times in a row.
Wow.
And it's a big slide with lots of steps, and she was all in. So great exercise, so we were all about it. But my wife was just staring at us the whole time and smiling and so happy. I mean, ovaries were dropping. And it was just so sad because she's 7 months pregnant and is completely uninterested in having sex right now.
Yes.
Which is
That's right. I want to talk to you about
which
this.
Which is so sad because the way she was looking at me, I'm like, I could totally get laid tonight.
Yep.
If she wasn't carrying a, you know, seven month child in her
stomach. I thought the third trimester hormones kick in and they get more interested. Is that
our golden time was the second trimester, and now it's been a desert
that moon
in our world.
Set.
Yeah, ship has sailed.
You know what you do? You get home and you milk that second clitoris.
I'm going to have to, if I can, I got to be able to at least, you know, unlock the boat first to get in there because, it's not happening. and it was so good for a while there. That second trimester was really great, and now it's just zip. But it's, you know what it is? It's because she feels so big, so horrible. And I'm like, you're beautiful. You're amazing. Yeah. You're so sexy. And it doesn't matter. If someone else says it, she's like, oh, thanks. That's so nice. But if I say it, she's like, screw you.
You're just trying to get laid.
Which might be fair. No, she really is beautiful and amazing. But, it's just, it's too bad because I think pregnant women aren't my thing, but my wife pregnant is my thing.
See, I never really
she's gorgeous.
I never really got aroused by my wife being pregnant.
Let's do
but
this.
But I've always been into my wife. I've always
that's good.
You know, I know it sounds weird to say it, but I'm saying
it's good.
Yeah,
you're right. I know exactly what you're saying,
right.
And you're totally right. And I have those moments where I'm like, she's really not into me, but man, I'm really into her. That's a bummer.
Mm-hmm.
But then she proves that that's not the case, which is nice. But you know, you just have those moments where you're like, man, I really lucked out. Why don't we do this? Or when you're having really, really good sex.
Mm-hmm.
And I always say to myself, why don't we do this more often?
Right. That's what
because
we say
every especially
time.
When she is really, really into it and really enjoying it. And, you know, you're taking care of your TCB.
Yeah.
Like Elvis used to say, TCB, taking care of business.
Like Elvis used to say.
TCB. I'm going to get a tattooed tramp stamp on my back with a lightning bolt. TCB. I can make wait. If my
is that
wife
from a movie, what did you just?
Oh, you don't know this?
No.
Elvis had a group of people. Sonny and Red, I think, were their names. He used to have this. It would be the equivalent of a posse, but he used to have these guys that were always with him, and they were his entourage. Right, entourage, yeah. And it was their slogan was TCB, and it had a lightning bolt in the thing. And if you look at, ever been to Graceland?
No.
His private jet is there, his private jet, and on the side of his jet it says TCB with a little lightning bolt, and it's like TCB in a flash. So if he needs something, he'll say, Sonny Red, I need a peanut butter and bacon sandwich,
yeah.
And they'll get it done. So TCB in a flash, like they'll do it, take care of business. So yeah, I mean, it's amazing. I can make my wife orgasm three times in a session,
yeah.
And then it's like, okay, why aren't we doing this daily?
Yeah.
Bi-weekly? Every fortnight?
I just want to get out of seasonal. That's all I want to
I just, that's okay. We have a limiter. It doesn't
why not all the time? Because you seem to enjoy it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's that whole, and again, it really is like your friend says, the
she
love intern says.
She couldn't even imagine. that's what I have learned, is that the reality of it, and this is like what she, like what I think you're about to say, what Rachel told us, is that just the physical part of that, I guess, is, I didn't know this, but evidently, you know, a couple of pussy records such as you and I.
You can't even get it out.
Evidently, there's some recovery time, is what I'm saying. That there's some,
no.
Yeah, there's some recovery
Whatever,
time.
Whatever, Rachel.
That needs to happen.
Boo.
Afterwards.
Boo.
So the idea of doing it every day. But here's what I've noticed, too, in my life. I feel like women have a biological clock. I have a sexual clock.
You do.
Yeah, I feel like I have, for whatever reason, I feel like, I feel like as you get older, you become a little bit more aware of mortality. Weirdly, not part of my wiring. I kind of go, I have a shelf life here. Am I really tapping into my sexual potential here? Am I going to be sitting here at 82 on my deathbed going, did I get it all in?
Yeah.
Literally?
Like, I'm with you.
You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
Did I make it all happen the way I would have wanted?
Yes.
Like, and then it's that's a hard sell.
Well, you see those Cialis commercials and the low T and all this stuff. And it's like, well, I don't have that.
Yeah.
I'm good. I don't need Viagra.
Nope.
But one day I might. And man, right now I don't. My wife has no idea how strong and healthy and hearty and vigorous I am. Let's go. I'm good. I'm GTG, TCB, TCBY, LOL, OMG. So stupid. But yeah, I mean, yeah, I it's good. And when it happens, it's always good. So that's good, right, Justin? It's good. So we just, I'm excited for the baby to come out. But then, you know, there's that period after that.
You're going to double dip on your dry spell. That was my other question that I forgot to ask of you earlier, is that how's your state of the union? You have you have been around from the beginning, not only as a listener of the show, but also as a participant of the show.
Yeah.
Nope. When Bill first celebrated in what was to be my life with two children.
Yep.
You may have heard already on the episodes where I finally am hitting a stride. And I'm coming out of my my tunnel of going, this was a huge mistake. Now I'm starting to see dividends.
Yeah, I saw them tonight.
I'm very happy with them and all that stuff. While I will not, at this juncture, recant my statement that one child is easier, I think that is painfully obvious.
No brainer.
But
makes sense.
I guess what I'm trying to say is that I'm not necessarily saying, you know what, everybody out there go out and have to. I'm going to stand by my thing. If you looked at one and you go, that was really fucking easy, and you're like, let's fucking make life harder, if that's honestly your mentality, then do it. But if you are looking at one going, that was one of the most difficult and really fucking hard things to do, like I've had multiple emotional breakdowns, then I would suggest, in this humble father's opinion, to just stick to the one and put all your love into that one, and everything will work out fine. They're going to have kids and grandkids, and everything will be fine. You'll have enough babies, I'm sure, in your life. Maybe they'll become a teenage father or a mother, and you'll be lucky. But But now I can actually, what I'm trying to say is that it seems like the sun is rising in what has been a really rough go. It's not like it's easy. It's not like it would have, it's better than if I would have just had Jacob. It's now it seems like, oh, I feel like a sigh. That's the best way to describe it.
That's great.
Like, okay. Yeah. I'm going to be all right. And then just as I get that, just as I finish fighting with my wife about how I having that stupid man chick fight of I need you to help me out around the house and blah blah blah, you need to be invested in this. That's when they both go to school and it's a moot fucking point. like everything we hit the realization, and then 2 weeks later decided, hey, Jack should really go to preschool, and now I'm by myself for 6 hours a day, and if I can't handle the kids for the other 6 hours of the day, I really feel that's on me now. I know that if anybody who listened to episode one of the show Back with Bill, you heard me talk a lot of shit about stay-at-home parents and mom saying, suck it the fuck up, because he's out there getting a paycheck.
Right.
And then I had two children
who
became a stay-at-home parent, and I ate crow. Like, there's no
Yeah, you did.
I did. I backpedaled like a motherfucker.
Right.
And please know that I'm ready to eat my words already, but I still stand by them.
This show is a journey.
Yeah.
You're growing.
I am.
We're all growing. I think I've learned from other friends, and especially you and Bill, and is that I'm going in eyes wide open.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's going to be hard. I know it's going to be difficult. There's going to be tears. There's going to be sleepless nights. There's going to be anger. I'm ready. I understand all of
those
things.
And that, to me, is how it should be.
There's no...
Everybody should be able to walk into that with that. Fuck this blessing bullshit. I'm sorry I got passionate.
I know it's not going to be easy. I know that. And it's. I don't think I'm. We're such great parents that it's going to be a cakewalk. It's not. Mm-hmm. So I'm ready. We're ready. We're both, you know, preparing for the worst. So when we do have those sweet moments, when one is playing and one is sleeping, or one is eating and one is, you know, playing with the other one, we're just going to just soak that in and love up on it, because we know it's not going to happen all the time. It's going to be, you know, piss and shit and vomit on the other times, and clogged ducts and mastitis and all those words that your female listener thinks we get wrong. But yeah, we're ready for it. So, but I can't, I'm still excited. I'm still 100% invested and ready to go and want it. And again, I'm 10 years older than you. So I'm just, this is it for me. So this is number two and the end. So I'm not going to pull a Tony Randall and have a kid when I'm in my 70s.
No,
I won't do it. I'm going to get, and then I guess we'll wait for another episode, because I'm going to get cut probably.
Yeah.
You know, a little bit after. I'll not do it while she's, Two months after. Wait, when did you got fixed?
10 days.
That's, you're just dumb.
10 days after. It was fine.
This is well documented.
It was
really,
it's well documented that I'm dumb. But it
no, that you're dumb that you did that.
Yeah.
10 days.
10 days after my second son was born.
She's breastfeeding, and you've got a new one.
I would do it if you were destined to do it. Like, the only way it doesn't make sense is if she's gonna have to get a cesarean, and they're already there. Then they could fix her when they're
already. She won't do that. She refuses. We've already had this conversation.
She will not get fixed.
Nope. It has to be me.
All right. Then, even though she's getting a cesarean,
I'm a pussy.
No, I'm just wondering. Even though she's getting,
she
a cesarean?
She just doesn't want it done. But she doesn't want me to. She doesn't want me to get it done either.
Really?
She just wants to have that window open, and I'm like, we need to close that window.
Yeah, shut it down.
Yeah, I just just doesn't make sense.
Well, here's the thing.
Anyway,
I would do it now. I would book it now.
Gah!
So that it's done.
You just made my life really real just for right that 1 second.
Because the whole reason I waited too long, it takes like a couple months. You have to do it, like, you have to book it a couple months out.
Okay.
And so I waited too late. Mm-hmm. I wanted to have it done before he was born. Like, and this sounds really macabre or whatever, but I did it once we were out of the woods and everything looked like it was, you know, we were going to be fine. And, you know, like, it's not like she would go, I peed on a stick, I'm 7 days pregnant, and then I go, great, and then I book the appointment. You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm saying that at that point, because then we still just have the one kid, he's mobile and okay, and that I wanted it to be done and recovered by the time the second kid came. That's what I wanted to have done.
Yeah.
Because everybody says, well, do it after the kid comes, because there's 6 weeks you can't touch her anyway. But here's what I learned.
That's true.
I immediately came home, started wrestling with the kids, and was fine, and all that was good to go. I went and worked like 2 days later
okay.
At an event where I was up on my feet all day.
Okay.
But I have had friends that have had to go back and have it done twice, or it was excruciatingly painful for them.
Yeah.
And even the urologist that did mine said it's different for everybody.
Yeah.
So that I don't know how to
I might just wait 6 months or something. And, yeah. And but it's definitely in the books. It's just we got to figure that out. But I think I'm kind of – unfortunately, I'm down your path where I want kid number two to come out healthy and
yeah.
And just everything work out before I make that final decision.
Yeah, so it's weird decisions that we have to make.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's weird.
Things got real. Things started off naughty.
Yeah.
And then got kind of funny.
Yeah.
And then things ended up real.
Real. That's how
That's
we do
how
it.
That's how we do it.
Bears and Warsham roll.
Do it.
Yes. Let's wrap it up. Yeah. What do you say?
Yes.
Want to do some.
We got a busy weekend ahead. I get to see you all weekend.
Yeah.
We're working together. It's going to be a blast.
It's going to be good times. Let's do it. Moments of the week. Why is it not playing? Why do you hate me, computer? Why do you hate me, computer? Computer. Computer. Why do you hate me?
Uh-oh.
It says it's playing. Oh, I hit mute? Did I hit
mute?
Oh, that's why. All right. Now I gotta fucking edit. I'm not gonna edit this.
Don't edit. Remember, we're keeping it real.
You love them. And sometimes you wanna choke the living shit out of them. But occasionally they give you that one sweet moment. This is that moment. Moment of the week, brought to you by Stitcher, the free app that handles all your podcasting needs without having to sync to your computer. Stream all your favorite podcasts right to your Droid, BlackBerry, or iPhone. Just go to thedadpodcast.com and click on the Stitcher logo on the left-hand side. It's free, people, and they give us money if you do it.
So my moments of the week with Jacob, it actually happened today. I kind of talked about it. It was kind of cute and cool that he's old enough now that he's not even in the full-blown car seat, that he's just in the booster chair, which I was not aware. My friend told me, I guess if they're over 40 pounds or whatever, you could just go booster chair.
Mm-hmm.
And so he is,
mm-hmm.
Or close enough to where I feel comfortable. So I was like, great. And then my mom was like, she pitched the idea of going to the library and taking him to the library. And he was like, Dad, can we go to the library? And I thought it came out of nowhere, but she weirdly kind of passive-aggressively wanted to go. Jack was asleep. So I said, sure. And just the idea that he's old enough that I could just pick up a thing, set it in there, she could buckle him, and then boom, he's off to go have fun with grandma. Was kind of touching. And then he came back and was like, we got books and we got toys and we got movies. And he was giving me the rundown of everything. So that we're playing with toys. And then I come back where I was doing stuff around the house. And all of a sudden I realize he's not around. I go into his room and he had taken the stack of books that they had gotten at the library and was just looking at them on the ground. He can't really read, but he was just looking at them. And I said, well, son, instead of sitting on, we have hardwood floors. I go, why don't you get up on your bed? So he picked up his books and I turned on the light and everything. He was up on his bed. He sat there for a good half hour, just like looking at books and stuff. Now you get that, you know, bullshit thing where it's like, oh, he's academic, he's smart, blah blah blah. That you feel that
be a doctor,
yeah. But for me personally, I didn't know this, but when my dad told me a while ago, not recently, but that I was way into books when I was a kid, that I could read before I got into kindergarten. And he goes, I don't know if you could actually read or if it was just that you were so into the stories that you wanted us to read to you that you would, he goes, you would memorize them and then you just knew them verbatim. And I brought this up with my mom. I said, it's cool that he's into books. She goes, he would have stayed at that library all night if I would have let him. Like he just sits there and stares at the books. And it was something, it was kind of cute because it was something about my son that I didn't really know or wasn't aware of, weirdly enough, which I don't know if that's a fail or not. I'm not worried about it. But, to me, it was cool. And then when I said that, I go, yeah, Dad said I was really into books. She goes, oh, my gosh, yes, you were. She goes, she said the same thing. She goes, you had them memorized. All of your books, you had them memorized. And you knew you could read them to yourself. You could just look at the pages and say them, like, and, you know, like you knew how to read. So I thought that was sweet and cool. And Jack is the exact opposite of Jacob in a lot of ways. But he's doing this thing now where if I'm fixing something around the house, like I was putting in a filter in this addition here in the back and a water filter. And he was like, I help you. And he's grabbing tools and he's putting them. And he's kind of
he's like one of those guys you get at Home Depot to help you for the day.
Yeah.
Help you.
Help you.
Help you.
Help you.
$10. Give him $10. Good to go. Give him a bean burrito.
Only his voice is much higher. He also has no idea what he's really doing.
Nah. He's just helping you. That's awesome.
But he's always – and he's in the way. And there are moments where I'm aware of it and I see the cuteness. And then there are moments where I think I fail kind of as a dad and I don't take the moment to appreciate what he's trying to do, and I go, just get the fuck out of my way, you know. But lately I've been like, oh, it's cute that he was. He helped me put all the screens. I had to have all the screens redone in the house, so he's helped me put those back. And so I was just it, like I've been talking about, is that it's now they're both becoming people.
Yes,
and that is like a big sigh of relief for me. It's like, oh fuck, I can't wait.
I know we don't have time, but real quick,
we have plenty of time.
Do you find that Jack is a little bit more advanced than Jacob was at this age because Jack has Jacob to bounce, like to learn from, and he's learning from? Because I'm hoping that's what's going to happen with us. And I don't know if that's common where kid number two is a little bit more advanced socially and vocally just because they've got another person that is kind of showing them the ropes.
He didn't like start – for a while we felt like Jack wasn't talking as much as Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
And then we kind of, as soon as we kind of went, no, this sounds about right. This feels about right.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't have the articulation. Like his words don't come out as clear as they did with Jacob.
Okay.
But he – takes huge leaps, like the space between like using his first word and saying sentences there's like not a slow process. It'll go and then boom, it just clicks.
Yeah,
and one day he's doing it all
right,
and I feel like those are happening in like these fast jumps as opposed to with Jacob. It seemed like a process. It felt like a process. But I think socially, yes, I think socially having Jacob around has helped him a lot more because he gets the concept of sharing, but also because he's a boy, it's also different too, but he doesn't take shit from anyone because he's had a big brother who has tried to either take shit from him or take advantage of him.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've seen him at preschool where it's like Jacob gets upset and is a little bit more like me, where if somebody tries to take something from him, he's like, oh, fuck, why are you doing this? You know, when I was a kid, Jack will be like, let's fucking go.
Let's go.
I will gut you like a fish, motherfucker.
Mm.
Put that Lego down.
Sounds similar to Bill's kids.
What do you mean?
Remember, wasn't the first
kid
first very emotional, and the second one was like a little Tasmanian devil.
Yeah. That's Jack. Jack is, he breaks
shit. I wonder if that's common. I wonder if that's just common with kid one and kid two.
I wish I knew.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, good thing I'll be back.
Yeah. Said your emails yet.
And two girls. Yeah. Two girls. So I'll have the female end of the spectrum. So for me, we've started soccer for Riley. So she's 4.5, so it's the tumbleweed division. And I guess it's
offensive.
I guess. We live in Colorado, so it's called the tumbleweeds.
Right, but also symbolic for boredom and vacancy. You know what I mean? Like,
well,
like desert.
It gets better. It's six practices. But listen, $30, it's a steal.
Yeah.
Because we get six practices, a jersey, a photo session, no games. At this, from 4 to 4 and 5, the tumbleweed division, they only practice. They're basically just learning how to work on a soccer field and kick a ball around and just learn skills, which I think is kind of great. There's no game. It's just, and the coach is playing games with the kids. So
they have like scrimmages.
Nope. No.
Not
there's,
even that.
There's no.
So it's only about skills.
It's not even skills. I mean, they're four, Justin. So I mean, they're literally.
I want them to fucking kick a goal.
Right. Exactly. Well, no. That's one of the games. It's all games. It's like we're going to, everyone kick your ball into this goal. This is the treasure chest, and you kick the ball into the treasure chest until all the balls are in there. Then we're gonna go kick them down at the other end.
Mm-hmm.
So and within two practices, our kid is dribbling, like actually able. Because at first she would just the coach would say, okay, kick the ball into this goal, and she would literally pick up the ball and run to the goal and then set it down and then kick it. So she did what he said, but she did it a lot faster. But now, you know, we take her home and we're like, listen, don't use your hands unless you're the goalie, and she doesn't understand what that means. So just, hey, don't use your hands. So now she's dribbling the ball down and she's starting to actually get some kind of athletic skill, which is unbelievable because last week she had no idea.
Yeah.
It's really cool how fast they pick it up.
Yeah.
So anyway, at the first practice, the coach has a game where all the kids try to kick the coach with their soccer ball. And if they get him, they get to pick what kind of animal or thing that he gets to become, and then he has to act like that thing, like a dog. He has to act like a dog until the next kid hits him. So it's just a game that makes the kids want to kick the soccer ball at a target, and he's the target.
That's cool.
It's very cool.
Yeah.
So our daughter's very sensitive, and so he was like, okay, you're a tiger, you're a lion, and it was all great. And then some kid's little boy said, you're a dinosaur, and he started, rawr! And our daughter just lost it, came running over to us at our blanket. It was just crying, and this was the first practice. We're like, and our kid is the only one that does this. So we're like, oh, my God, we've got that kid.
Yeah.
Or we're those parents, or, you know, we're like, we failed.
Yeah.
Which is stupid. Of course we haven't failed. Our kids just got scared because the coach was a dinosaur.
Yeah.
So, of course, I spend the whole week, you know, side coaching her. Listen, it's pretend. He's not really a dinosaur.
Yeah.
He's not going to hurt you. It's fun. It's funny. And so she just repeats that back to me wide-eyed, like, it's funny. He's not a dinosaur. She'll wake up in the morning and be like, Coach Jeff's not a dinosaur. He's just having fun. It's just pretend. I'm like, yeah, you got it right, babe.
Never in a soccer internment camp.
That's right. He's not a dinosaur. So this week, so we're like,
he's an infidel.
So we said, Riley, if you hit Coach Jeff, tell him to be a fairy princess. She was like, yeah, or a fish. We're like, cool. So they're playing the game, and he's a tiger, he's a lion, and we're like, oh man, here comes the dinosaur. And then the little boy hits him, and we're like, here it goes. And the little boy goes, I want you to be soup. It's a long story. So he's like, okay. So he literally like sits down in like a yoga position, and he says, I am soup. I mean, this kid is having a blast. So she gets him, and she says, I want you to be a fish. And he's a fish. She thinks it's hilarious. She has so much fun. So we've done two soccer practices. The first one had that moment. This one, second one, no problems. And now she's, you know, he was a tiger, a lion. He was being loud. She's getting better. And it's just, it's nice to see that progression of her just getting a little bit better and getting more confident. Again, she's an only child, so she gets sensitive. If a little kid pushes her or takes something away from her, she doesn't even know how to socially react to that.
Yeah.
And that's what she's learning in preschool. And so long story short, she's cute as hell playing soccer in her little cleats.
Awesome.
And we, you know, we bought her the cleats and the shin guards because you have to have them, and a little size 3 ball. The ball is this big, just adorable.
I didn't even know they had mini balls.
Yeah, size 3.
Wow.
The coach said, you know, you have to have these things for water bottle and this and that. And she goes one day a week for an hour. So it's not, or 45 minutes. It's nothing. It's 6 weeks. But it's awesome, and we're loving it, and she actually is really into it, and so that's my moment of the week, is that she got a little bit better on her second soccer practice, and Coach Jeff is a fish and soup.
My favorite part of the whole thing is when you hit him, tell him he's a fairy princess. You go, yeah, or a fish.
I know. She wouldn't even – I was like, let's go down this path. She said, no, jerk. I'm the one with the imagination.
But that's what I love, is that she completely, like, not even anything in the fairy princess world. I love the enthusiasm of the acceptance.
Like,
to me, that's a yes and on an all new level of improv. You know what I mean? Like, to go, yeah, or a fish. Like, and have no sarcasm, no undertone to it. Just, like purely thinking that we're brainstorming here.
Yeah.
And we've nailed it, guys.
Dad, I'm just spitballing here.
We did a lot of things.
We're gonna put Fairy Princess in this parking lot. But how about this?
How about
fish?
Basically the same thing. Damn it, that is
win-win, second clitoris.
I want that to be my catchphrase. I'm going to steal that from Ryan. Yeah, or a fish. Anytime I'm going to try and work this.
Justin,
in.
How about we go out for pizza tonight?
Yeah, or a fish.
Stupid.
That's funny to me.
Best episode ever.
All right. So I'll send us an email to show@thedadpodcast.com. I have it scheduled, and let's see if I can find it. I have an episode coming up with our dear friend Rachel Gibbs at Love Intern. I think it's The Love Intern.
Such a crush on her.
You have a crush on her, or I do? Or you, both of us?
You do.
I do. That's all right. That's a safe answer for you to say. If you see pictures, you'd probably also. I have to put this in the thing in here. Why do I not have it in here? Ruh-roh. It's somewhere around the end of September, is my point. So send any questions for her. I have a couple of great ones. So thank you to those of you who sent that in. But you can send those in to questions@thedadpodcast.com. Also, in a few weeks from the time you're hearing this, we will also be buckling up for some Dr. J goodness. So please send those emails in. What else do I have to? I wanted to say a big thank you. This is actually some cool news for me. There's a strong chance for the month of August that I'm going to hit 10,000 downloads in a month on this show.
Wow.
You guys have helped spread the word. We have pretty much lived on the What's Hot page on Kids and Family for podcasts. And I really, really appreciate everybody helping to spread the word and liking us on Facebook and all of that stuff. Means the world to me. So thank you guys again. Once it happens, I will for sure let you know. If we don't get it this month, then we'll for sure get it next month. And the reason why this is such a big deal is that it's not like I have a catalog of 3 years of episodes that are up. It's been a year and a half, so it's, you know, and the numbers are now growing per and our friends at Naptime Radio pointed out. She asked me, I told her what she was like. Their Naptime Radio is ranked number 3. On parenting podcasts on Stitcher, and I think we're number 5, right?
Oh, wow.
But I have more listeners outside of Stitcher than they do, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. But here's my point. She was the one that pointed this out to me. She goes, do you count Stitcher listeners when you count your total numbers? And I was like, no, that's completely unfair and not true. So I went and looked at it, and that's how I saw she was number 3, blah, blah, blah. But got me onto that. I had a point and I lost it.
You were saying thank you for the listening,
yes,
and the downloads.
I am. I'm saying thank you for helping to spread the word and for continuing to just listen to the show. And as much as it seems rude to me, I think that it is a fair investment, is that if you could do the $2 a month or $24 a year, it would change my life. Like I said last week, I would like to start, now that the kids are in school, and I have a staple rotation of some guests that I think would be easier for me to deal with schedules and stuff like that. I can even crank it up to where we do 2 episodes a week if you are a $2 a month or $24 a year subscriber. So if you would like to participate in supporting the show, please go to thedadpodcast.com, and there are links there to either do $2 a month or $24 a year, and you could literally change my life. If everybody who listens to the show did that, it would be phenomenal for me, and I would appreciate it immensely. So I think that's it. You could find Joseph Barris on Facebook. The show's on Facebook, facebook.com/dadpodcast, Twitter @dadpodcast. Do you want people to say hello to you?
Look for the diagram of the second clitoris. We got to put that up, Justin.
It's so great because this episode, we're actually recording this episode about 2 weeks before you're going to hear it.
Mm.
And what's so awesome is that now Facebook lets you schedule when things are posted.
Ah, yeah. Or you could tease and say this is a big part of an upcoming episode, and that'll get people, it'll cool. Wet their whistles.
I'll do both,
if you will.
Yeah.
Speaking of lubricant, I don't get it.
Enjoy that posterior phoenix, ladies. I think I'm already saying it wrong. Anyway,
yeah.
I want to call it an annex.
That girl's gonna write you again and say you guys got it wrong again, dumb guys. We're just dumb guys, but we like to take care of our ladies.
Yes, we do. So if you'd like to participate in that taking care, TCB with a lightning bolt.
Yeah, TCB!
Sonny, Red, why don't you find that second clitoris for me?
Right, you got it, Elvis.
Uh-huh. You got it, Elvis. TCB, in a flash.
On behalf of my good friend Joseph Barris, this is Justin Worship saying, stay frosty.